You bored?
No, I was just thinking. I was thinking of my resolution to laugh less.
Oh,
because I think I laugh too much.
All right, somber it up.
I'm gonna go more with the, not really somber, but just less giggling into the microphone.
Okay.
I just giggled. See, yeah. I can't help it.
All right.
I'm a natural born giggler.
All right. I'm gonna try and make. That's what that Oliver as much as possible.
That's what that show. Oliver Stone movie. Remember that natural born gigglers?
Yeah. That was about me. JFK.
JFK. That's right. Giggling. That's where they shot him. His incessant giggling. That's what the plot was.
Yeah.
The people at the Oval Table and the people, that's what it's called, right? The presidents. Oh, man, Oval this is gold. Why are we talking about this now?
Round Table, is that what you're talking about?
Okay.
Are you confusing the president with King Arthur? I know they called him Camelot.
We haven't started the show yet. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I'm Ian Boothby. Let's get started.
Let's
on
get
the
rolling.
Right, David Dedrick. On the left, Ian Boothby.
I'm for.
I'm
you're
against.
Okay.
Well, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree. Thanks for tuning in to Sneaky Dragon this week.
He's pro, I'm con.
That's right. He's yes, I'm no.
He's anti, I'm uncle.
That's right. You are. You're the man from Uncle.
That's true.
Remember that old show?
Robert Vaughn.
I'm feeling very old today because tomorrow's my birthday.
David McKellum.
Which is why I'm going to make Man from Uncle references.
Oh, tomorrow's your birthday.
Tomorrow is my birthday. Though I am getting birthday wishes right now from friends from places in the world where it is tomorrow.
Yeah, Australia.
Right.
Has been sending you birthday greetings.
That's right. I get birthday greetings from Australia.
And a bottle of wine.
And my friend Jocko, who has a time machine. But his time machine only takes you 8 hours into the future.
Hmm.
So what he does is he comes back and spoils movies.
Is that what he does?
Yeah, and TV shows. He'll come back and go, hey, I'll tell you how Lost ends. Shut up!
Yeah.
Shut up, man.
Way to go, jerko.
Yeah. You'd think he'd do something with the lottery, but, you know.
He doesn't listen to the show, right? He won't hear that I just...
Yes, he's already listened to it.
He's already...
While we're doing it, he's already listened to it.
He's going to come stomping through the door and punch me in the nose?
Maybe you'll feel sorry for us because the show didn't go that well.
That won't be the first time.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to get too high on our horse. I want to just tell the listeners, I apologize. I'm apologizing again. I'm Canadian. I apologize at least three times a day. You know, regular is a Canadian clock, which chimes three times a day.
Okay. Is that what it is?
We have three. Yeah. If people have seen a Canadian clock, we have, there's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and that's it.
So that's where that expression came from. Even a Canadian clock is right three times a day.
That's right.
Okay.
On the right. David Dedrick.
Me.
On the left, Ian
David
Boothby.
Dedrick.
That's right. That's right. You're on both sides.
I'm taking both sides of this argument.
I am a little slow because I had to get up 7 in the morning. Now, I know to a normal person that sounds normal, but imagine that you had to get up instead. Say you were a person who gets up at 7 in the morning. You had to get up at 1 in the morning. That would be what it would like for me.
Okay.
Because my sister-in-law, Victoria, graduated from film school today. So I went to a graduation ceremony at Langara. Yeah, congratulations to Vicky Van.
Yeah, congratulations, Vicky.
Good honor. But it was weird. It's like I never graduated. I was one course short of college.
You're one course short of a load?
Yes.
Okay.
My college gave me what happened was when I was in college, I think I might have told this before, but I'll tell it again really quickly. They didn't charge me. They mistakenly didn't charge me for one of my classes. I got an A in the class. Let me say I got an A in the class.
You got an A.
But they said, we didn't charge you for it. Listen, we can do
one. But wait a second. This is Canada. We all get A's.
That's true.
Am I right? Everyone else in the world?
Everyone gets a medal.
Hey.
At the Canadian Games, we all get a medal.
Yeah.
And they said to me, we could do one of two things. One, we can just, you know, forget it, but you don't graduate. Or you could pay us now and you get your degree.
Yeah.
And I went, I weighed, and it was a theater degree. And I went like, How is a theater degree worth this amount of money? And I went, no. The education is.
Okay.
The experience is.
Okay.
But the degree, I've worked in the arts now for a goodly amount of time.
Yeah, 5 years.
Yes, 5 years. Thank you.
Yeah.
It is my 23rd birthday.
That's right.
Tomorrow. No, I've worked in the arts for like at least 20, 25 years. And at no point has anyone ever gone, hey, you got a degree? Never. You'd never go to an audition and they go, hey, what's you got a degree or some business like that? No, never happens.
Not even looking for like a black belt?
Yes, they do ask for that. That if you're auditioning for, say, I don't want to say Hamlet or the Scottish play because we brought those up in past.
Yeah.
Pippin. If you're auditioning for Pippin, they will ask you if you've got a black belt.
Pippin or what's the one where he has to pretend to be his aunt?
Charlie's aunt.
Yeah.
Charlie's Aunt is how Charlie's you say it, because it's a British thing.
Okay.
There's also the musical version, which is Where's Charlie?
Where's Charlie? Maybe that's what I was thinking. I think I was thinking of Where's Charlie.
I was in Where's Charlie.
That's probably why it made me think of that.
Probably did. Okay.
At that time, you only had a green belt.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that was more eco-friendly.
It was an amateur production.
It was. Coincidentally, that was a production at Douglas College, which is where I got my theater degree. This is going nowhere interesting. backing it up. Vicky Van, she's graduating.
She graduated,
so
yeah.
They're having the big ceremony. And okay. But I have been to graduation ceremonies in the past. And in the past, they have a speaker. They have a lot of speakers. Oh, my God. Everyone's got something to say.
Yeah.
And it's always the same thing. Everyone just says, you're facing your future. Yeah. There you go. It's great. But what they did this time was very weird. It was like almost every one of them came up, and instead of you're facing your future, it's going to be, face it boldly and go forth. It was like, well, things aren't great. Like, we got to admit, things aren't so great.
Yeah.
And, you probably will get more education than this. This probably is a step towards your goal and not, and it was like, holy shit. Like, you expected them to flip their diploma over and see an application form on the back.
Yeah.
And then like a Subway card where you stamp it and you get like, for the 10th one, you get a free class. It was like, well, this might not mean as much as you hope, but thanks for the money, suckers. And then they get in their rocket packs and they blast off.
Is that right?
And then the walls fall down and you're in a field like, how the fuck did we get here? Make your own way home.
Really?
Thanks for graduating.
Yeah, that was the tenor of what, I mean, you're kind of paraphrasing what they said. They didn't come right out and say that.
Yeah, well, that was, they did a little bit. They weren't saying it as directly, but it was, listen, times are tough. Though one person did come up and go, there will be more jobs than there are people in the future because more people will be retiring. And so
they always say that.
They say that, but I don't know if that's true. I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
No. I don't know if this whole, this
because
whole,
you know, it, the thing is it's not like one giant clump of people disappear. Mm-hmm. It's incremental. You know what I mean? Like, it's one person or a couple people throughout over the years. It's not like it's not like 1,000 people suddenly all retire.
Right.
You know, so it's a slow, you know, so they've been saying that about teachers, for instance,
stands
for a long
through the
time.
Hourglass. Well, here's the thing. Like, I mean, I think of it this way. You know, we've talked in the past about that weird phenomenon when we were kids where there'd be a dinner party and then all the women would go to do the dishes and all the men went to the living room and would unbuckle their pants and watch TV.
Okay.
We will ne'er see that era again, nor should we. That's a dumb era.
What I experienced is that the kids, we had to go wash the dishes.
Ah, smart moms.
And all the adults went and played cards.
Yeah, we didn't have that. All the ladies went and did this. And I went like, okay, well, that was a thing from the past. And it shall ne'er come this way again. And I almost feel the same way about retirement. When I hear people talking about retirement, I think like, that's adorable. I don't see that happening. Like, I see like, as I get closer and closer to that, that there'll be some politician going, let's push the age to 68. Hey, 70. Hey, life expectancy is pretty. Yeah. What's wrong with 80? You know, grandpa likes to feel busy and,
yeah. It's possible. I am on the Freedom 95 plan, as they call it.
So. Oh, what's that? Because you are a slave.
Well, this,
you are an indentured servant.
I just don't see ever having the money to retire,
mm-hmm.
you know, to have an income enough. Savings or whatever. You know, I faithfully put money into mutual funds over the years, but mutual funds are dog shit. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're even worse now that the world economy has gone on the tank. I mean, it's possible that they'll bounce back, but they always talk about it's like a yo-yo on an escalator. They go up and down, but they're always going up on this escalator.
Right. And then the yo-yo gets caught in the escalator and gets crushed in the spikes.
That's where I feel where I am right now.
You don't want strings on an escalator. That's a terrible analogy.
Because we
an elevator actually would work better.
We did the RESP thing, which is a...
Tell me what that means to me.
It is a...
Sock it to me.
I'm going to sock it to you. It is... sock it to you. It's RESP is an retirement. No, not retirement. It's a registered education savings plan. So you put money aside for your kids to go to school.
Yes.
And what you put in, the government will match. So if you put in $1,000, the government will also put in $500
because
it's the government. That's their idea of matching. No, I don't know. Maybe it is $1,000. I never saw that closely. But anyway.
And if you can figure that out, if you educate yourself enough that you figure out they're ripping you off, they go, you've learned the secret.
That's
come
right.
This way. And they give you a big bag of money and a hug, a warm hug from the prime minister.
A lollipop. The a couple of years ago, we had about $16,000 for Mary for her schooling. Mm-hmm. Now that she's actually leaving school and going into university, we have $10,000. So it's taken a bit of a hit.
Yeah.
Thanks to the economy. Thank you, world. Thanks, Greece. I'm actually just blaming this all on Greece.
Yeah, well, they did give
us... They're the ones who are at fault, right?
They did give us democracy. Let's give them that much.
Democracy, overrated. You know, democracy was...
Let's vote on whether it's overrated. I don't think it is.
I think it is.
Well,
wait a second.
Tie.
I'm con. You're a pro.
Oh, I guess democracy doesn't work. Good point.
I'm an ex-con. You're an ex-pro. You know that...
David, what's a Grecian urn?
Not very much. Have you seen their economy? Should we put a rim shot in there?
No.
Okay.
You can't afford a rim shot in this economy.
In this economy. I was just going to say that it was Plato who did that system, right? He wrote that book about, well, anyway, democracy was to
Plato's
him,
top tips
it
for
It was
teens.
The lowest. It was the lowest form of rule.
Democracy?
Yeah.
What was number one?
A philosopher king. Like an autocrat who is so wise that his decisions
right.
were...
But if you can't find one of those...
If you can't find one of those...
What's number two?
An autocracy. Leadership of elites.
Okay.
And then you descend from there down to democracy, the rule of the mob.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's where we are now. And we're pretty proud of it. We're like patting ourselves in the back, but, you know, some people weren't all that impressed by it in the past, you know.
I'm okay with it.
And I mean, and his was like in Greece, it was a limited democracy, right? It was only landowners or the elites that actually had a right to vote. The hoi polloi did not mm-hmm. get a right to vote. In fact, hoi polloi, I believe, is a Greek term mm-hmm. referring to the people who didn't get a right to vote.
And the other thing I got against Greece, feta cheese.
You don't like feta cheese?
What the fuck? You know what? There's good tasting cheeses out there as well. You know, I understand, like, if you want to have it as an option, but it shouldn't be your main cheese, like, in any way, shape, or form. They've heard of cheddar. They've tried cheddar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cheddar, clearly a better cheese.
Than feta.
Clearly a better cheese. Mozza, better cheese. Havarti, better
mozza?
Cheese.
I'll give mozza.
Carlsberg, better cheese.
Okay, let's have a cheese.
Stinking Bishop,
but wait,
better
Stinking
cheese.
Bishop. We'll start doing the Monty Python cheese sketch.
Almost, yeah. But a feta
get
is
out
like...
my zither.
Okay, like I can see a feta if you're hungover or, you know, something. I guess it'll do the job and it'll probably keep for a long period of time.
I'm just going to rebut you with one word, which is Saganaki. Do you know Saganaki?
No, I do not.
It's this cheese.
Is he the person who does Usagi Yojimbo?
That and also this cheese. That's right. Ukiyo Saganaki. He did, did he do that? I thought he did that, oh, I can't remember. I don't even know the names of the...
Stan Sakai does Usagi Yojimbo.
Oh, that's right. So, Saganaki is the... It's a... Like a... You get this bowl. It's like
Dave
a metal
is,
plate.
Dave is miming something.
I'm miming, yeah. That's kind of ridiculous. Sorry.
Very useful on a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to lobby but for videocast subtly.
Well, you better put on pants. That's I keep saying the same thing.
We can have
one or the other.
But people... Let's have a vote. Everyone? No,
Are you
no,
raising your hand?
Saganaki.
I hope that's right. I'm against.
Two votes on the side. The Saganaki, it's like this cooked cheese in a metal dish. You've never had it?
No.
At some Greek restaurants you get, they'll actually light it on fire when they bring it to the table.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen things lit on
it's
fire.
It's cooking, it's really good.
Okay.
I have to say that I don't know if it's feta cheese.
Dave, I'm going to a food court. I see.
You're going to a food court?
Let's say, I'm going to a food court.
Okay, and what's on trial?
Okay, let's say Greek cuisine, because okay. That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
I'm going to a food court, mm-hmm. and Greek food, it says. Now, yeah. If you go to, say, Japanese food, what are you going to get? You're going to get your sushi. You're going to get maybe like a little teriyaki salmon.
Okay.
You're going to get something that Japanese people generally eat.
Okay.
So you go to your Greek place, and you're like, oh, what do you got? I got a Greek salad. Ah, Greek salad. So that's all vegetables and feta cheese. I'm not going to get flaming Saganaki. I'm not going to get any of that. Try and find that. At your basic Greek restaurant, are they going to have
I'm not at a food court, obviously.
Basic, like, you know,
but
wait
a second.
Down the street,
when you
the
go,
first
when
place
you go,
you find...
when you go to a Greek place, mm-hmm. you do not get Greek salad. You get souvlaki. That would be like the go-to thing.
You don't
thing.
Get Greek salad on the side.
You'll get Greek salad on the side, but you made it sound like that's all you'll get.
No, I'm not saying that's all you get, but you're all right, you get your souvlaki. Mm-hmm. What do you got, your flamin' cheese in that? No, your souvlaki is never on fire.
It's a separate thing.
So why are you bringing it up? Why'd you bring it into the
because
argument?
Because it's damn good. Well, you're the one who was putting out a feta cheese.
You are changing the argument, sir. I'm saying, like, yes, admittedly, like, I go to like, a Burger King, mm-hmm. and I go, like, these burgers are terrible. Oh, but you know, there's this other thing you get at a restaurant that isn't this. Well, that's true.
Wait a second.
but what the hell?
If you're talking about gourmet burgers... Mm-hmm. And then you're going to argue from Burger King. That doesn't seem very fair. Let's argue restaurant to restaurant.
Okay, I think a much more common cheese in a Greek restaurant is a feta cheese. That's okay. The one they shove in your face.
But
isn't and go, that you better like this?
But
or you're
I think
racist.
That's what Saganaki's made of.
Is it?
I don't know.
Let's both look it up.
It's a big melted thing in a bowl.
You are arguing very vehemently for something that you do not know about.
Well, just because I like it.
What else is new, by the way?
Yes, welcome to my world.
That's right. From the feta side, I'm Ian Boothby.
Wait, you're in the anti-feta side.
Yeah, I'm anti-feta.
He's
yeah.
fed up with it.
No.
Sorry. I wrote a letter of apology last
God.
Week.
And Dave said to me beforehand that he's going to try and stop laughing so much on mic. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, jokes like that really do help. It's appreciated.
Not me.
No, exactly.
Well, I think we talked about this before, and it's the danger of being a dad
mm-hmm.
is because your need to entertain becomes priority one.
Right. Well, quite often, David, in the middle of the show, will jiggle some keys at me.
That's right.
Try to make me giggle. And then blow on my belly, which yeah. is like, no, that's not cool.
It's not. It does become inappropriate at a certain age.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
And that age is?
Tomorrow, because it's your birthday.
That's right.
I'll stop it.
That's right.
No, it's just, you know, when you have kids, you just will say anything. Anything that pops in your head. You know, sometimes when they're little, it's hilarious. When they're teenagers, it's groan-worthy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still entertaining to you. Whether they are laughing or groaning, you are getting what you want, which is their attention, or at least, you know, they're not boredom or something, you know? So.
Well, when you're a little kid, you want attention, whether it's good or bad. When they turn into a teenager, that gene turns on in the parent, and they're like, I don't care if it's good or bad. I just want some attention. And then what happens in their head is that not the wanting the good or bad attention, that's replaced by the embarrassment gene. You know, they talk about all the different things that happen to your body at puberty, but what they don't tell you about is, like, this embarrassment gene that's been, like, holed up in there, like, building up juice for your whole life, just goes pop and floods your body, and then the entire world is embarrassing, especially people that you love.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing more embarrassing than your parents. Also, yourself. Everything about you is embarrassing. Everything about your family is embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Your whole life is humiliating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
We've all been there.
And, you know, to a degree, it's a good thing to have. Otherwise, you'd never take a bath.
Yes. When you're... I think I took I took showers more often when I was a teenager than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now I'm kind of... I'll be thinking, oh, I'm too busy.
Yeah, you just run through a sprinkler in the neighborhood. That's Someone's right. always got one going.
Oh, yeah. Well, just run outside enough. In the rain. It's good enough for me.
Now, something we talked about last week, but off mic, was occasionally you... Now, you do the title cards.
Yes.
For this. And you do a very, very good job, let me just say.
Well, thank you.
You're a very good artist, very talented artist. And you were talking about how you had one that you wanted to do. It was like a Bruce Lee type one.
Yeah.
But we did not talk about Bruce Lee in any way.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is force Bruce Lee into this podcast.
Okay.
So you can use that title
card.
Oh,
thank you. Thanks.
All right.
Because I'm actually thinking it would also make a good t-shirt design.
Because, all right, that ties into a little reminder. We got a contest going on.
Yeah.
Which is we want to stay on one topic for an entire episode. We tend to wander about. We
so
flit which about.
I mistakenly thought we were going to do today. I was all looking forward to it today. But you're saying now that we're going to do it in a month?
Yeah, generally like about a month. We're going to give it like, I think like a week in real time is a month in podcast time. Just give people a chance to like get some things. What we want you to do is either go to our Facebook page or to our webpage at sneakydragon.com and just say what topic you would like us to talk about. If we pick your topic, and we will pick one randomly. We'll write all the topics that we get and your names in a little index card thing, put it in a hat.
Okay.
And then if we pick yours, you will win a t-shirt that Dave is talking about currently.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you're interested in seeing what it might look like, then...
Are you saying this t-shirt might be Bruce Lee related?
It might be Bruce Lee related.
Okay, now is that spoiling your t-shirt to maybe do it as a title card?
You think so?
I don't at all. I'm trying to force this so that you'll draw that damn Bruce Lee dragon thing.
Because I would like to eventually do the Ghost Dragon, the Ghost Rider / Ghost Dragon one event, you know, one of these centuries as a t-shirt. I think that would be a really cool t-shirt. It's a really bright... colorful shirt. I mean, that's already been a title card. I don't think it would spoil it.
No, I agree.
So,
but let's talk about like Bruce Lee for a second so we can justify this damn thing.
Okay.
All right, talk about Bruce Lee. Go.
Talk about Bruce Lee?
This is good practice for our staying on topic. Let's talk about Bruce Lee for 5 minutes. Bruce Lee, go.
You know, before we talk about Bruce Lee,
because I thought... This is our problem. We can't stay on a damn topic.
Because I thought...
You asked me to set you up. I set you up. Yeah, but forget about that. Kool-Aid. Isn't it weird how they had a root beer flavor in the 70s? Who wanted root beer Kool-Aid?
Wait, I wanted is this a brief
They did
detour.
Have a root beer Kool-Aid. It was weird.
That is weird and unpleasant because I think root beer needs fizz. Yeah, I was just going to say. It would be like having Coke flavored Kool-Aid.
I think they may have done that as
black.
Well.
Yeah. Orange is okay.
Yeah.
Orange is okay.
Right.
What we used to do with Kool-Aid, what I like to do, we had a really giant pitcher so we could mix two Kool-Aids at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd mix them. So we'd put an orange and a lime together
right. And
do it that way. It was freaky.
Everyone
came out the same color though, brown.
We saw an actual orange the other day. It was weird because it had looked like it had two navels to it.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, okay, well, that's the navel. On the other side, oh, that's the orangina.
Nice.
Anyway, what were you gonna derail your own damn conversation to start?
Well, because I thought the contest was this week.
Right.
I practiced my attention, like my ability to focus on something.
Nice job.
Good job. Well done.
There's
a dot on the wall, and I just like a knot in a piece of wood, and I just stared at it
mm-hmm.
for about a minute.
Well, you're gonna start seeing things. You'll after start that, hallucinating. Don't do that.
I was bored after that, and I stopped.
Okay.
But anyway, Bruce Lee. Well, you're the one who brought up Bruce
Lee.
That's
actually
not true. Let's just talk at 1 minute.
No, let me tell you something, mister.
Let me tell you something.
If you stare at something, like say you just stared at like something on the wall.
Okay.
Everything else around that thing will vanish. That's just something that your brain does. It shuts off things that stay the same.
Well, I'm not going to say that I was like fixated on it. I was just kind of looking in that general area. You know?
All right.
I was just kind of like, maintain attention on one thing.
Right.
See if I could keep my mind
on
a minute.
We've discussed you looking at a wall for 3 minutes now. Do you want this podcast to fail?
But wait, I only talked about it for like a second.
You are a kamikaze fucking pilot on this. smashing this podcast into the ground.
That's my job here.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, tell me that story about how you looked at a wall again for a while, and then it didn't interest you. Keep that story going.
Want me to keep going with that?
Because you know what the story I was trying to get going was? Your feelings on Bruce Lee.
I was just going to go on to that.
Greatest martial artist in film. And you went, no, Ian, I've got a story about how I stared at a wall for a while. Let me interrupt you and tell you about this.
Okay. Well, let me interrupt you.
Please.
What I think is...
Dave's feelings on Bruce Lee. Take one.
This may be edited out.
Have fun with this.
I'm going to have fun with it or the
just
audience?
Have fun with it.
The audience should have fun with it?
No, I don't think that's possible at this point.
I think it's over? My whole wall story wrecked it?
I think so.
I don't think so.
Do you know what?
The wall story was pretty fascinating.
Your wall story was so boring, it destroyed... I think people won't listen to Pink Floyd, The Wall, anymore.
You laughed at it, and then you told me it was boring.
Mr. Dedrick, tear down that wall story.
I think you're doing a good job on your own. I don't need to tear down myself.
David Dedrick talking about Bruce Lee, take two. Just relax.
Wait a second. I said I was going to laugh less. Now I'm all nervously laughing.
David Dedrick,
you're putting
Bruce Lee, take three. We're losing tape, people. And
we're losing
action.
We're losing virtual tape. We're losing it. Anyway, what I was just going to say was about the Green Hornet. Because that's the first place I saw Bruce Lee was as a kid watching Green Hornet.
You saw Bruce Lee watching the Green Hornet TV show.
I saw him watching it. That's right. And I was like, wow, what is that guy doing watching a TV show? It's amazing.
I suppose if I had a TV show, I'd watch myself on it.
I saw him on the TV show. But what always struck me, even as a kid, was he was great. And it used to run Batman and then Green Hornet.
Right. Same announcer.
It's basically the same kind of show.
Generally the same except one was camp and one was fairly straight.
One was fairly straight. But it was camp, but it had Bruce Lee on it. Bruce Lee could not be camp.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like he was seriously doing something. He was like really good
after someone said a line like, the Joker's attacking the city, that clown prince of crime is, but no one's going to be laughing now. You would, in the Green Hornet, it would go, dun, dun.
Yeah,
but
no,
in Batman, it would go, murr, murr, murr. It would do a little one of those, like, that was a joke horn. Murr, 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 murr.
Yeah.
And then into Batman.
But, nowadays, if you're going to do an action movie or do something action-related, those guys, those actors, they go and train. They go and train for a couple months or a month or whatever, and they go and learn to kick and they learn to do stuff, and they learn fighting. And
the
they
best
learn
time to rob an actor's house.
That's right. It's when you find out they're going to do
an army movie.
An
They've
army
gone
movie.
To boot camp.
That's right.
Rob their fucking house.
That's right. Time to move in.
Yeah.
That's not true because their entourage is still living in the house.
Okay.
No actor lives alone.
Do you think they don't bring their entourage to boot camp?
No.
I think you're fooling yourself.
I think they bring one or two, but I don't think they bring the whole entourage.
I think when the sergeant's going, exactly. give me 20, he's going to go, okay, Jim, do it. One from his entourage.
Toad, give me a...
Yep.
Is that his name, Toad? Frog?
Yeah.
Is there a character? Oops, your mic just fell.
Yep.
But what was... Because the thing about Green Hornet is you had your Adam West style actor playing the Green Hornet, and I'm sorry, I don't know his name.
Van Johnson?
Is that Van Johnson?
Van something.
I don't think it'd be Van Johnson. But anyway, you know, so he's your typical out of shape 45-year-old actor playing a 20-year-old, you know, so his corset is getting in the way of his, you know, his fight moves. And then you've got Bruce Lee totally kicking ass, jumping around like a maniac, doing
Van Williams.
Williams moving line.
That's right.
Okay.
Williams is a moving line, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Ooh,
so you can get a Williams moving van.
Yes.
It's very strange.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, clang associations. So it just kind of, it just struck me as odd because, you know, in Batman, the fact that they can't fight at all and merely kind of throw shapes and, you know, very slowly.
Big roundhouse punches.
Well, no one wants to pull their lumbago or whatever you do to a lumbago. No one wants that to happen.
Unless you're a teenager, yeah.
Yeah. No one wants that. No one wants that on, you know, on a set. And it's the same on Green Hornet.
We're doing a lot of jokes that would also work on Laugh-In today.
You said sock it to me earlier.
What's a Grecian urn? Sock it to me. Hey, that guy was pulling his lumbago.
What's my bippy?
That's right. Anyway, Dave, just put that in your Funkin' Wagnalls and keep going.
I will. So I just think that, I don't know, in a way Bruce Lee was awesome on the show, but in a way he kind of takes the show out of what it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a camp, bit of goofiness with a lot of old actors creakily pretending to fight each other.
Well, here's my thing. It's like with Bruce Lee, when you get into a fight and Bruce Lee's fighting some goons, and just like regular hired goons, barrel-chested hired goons,
yeah.
How does that fight not just last 2 seconds? How does that fight, like, the end? You know, it's like, why does the Green Hornet fight? Like, why is he involved? Like, just, that's your fighting guy. Send him in. It kind of made sense in the Green Hornet movie with Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, this guy does the fighting. This guy just kind of hangs out, maybe throws one punch at the end.
Yeah.
You know, but that's it.
But that was following the show.
Yeah.
The show's kind of had that in it, too, you know, that kind of built-in.
Didn't the Green Hornet have, like, a stun thing with his stick? He had, like, some hornet sting.
I really don't know. I don't remember the show super well now. It's been a long time since
It always used to bug me with the Batman TV show where Batman, when I found out Batman had knockout gas, why he didn't just use that all the time.
You know what bothered me on the Batman show is when he's walking up the side of a building,
yeah.
Standing straight up,
yeah.
And then Colonel Klink comes out a window. That's what bothered me.
Well, here's the one thing was that, because yeah, that did happen.
Yeah.
Now, was he playing Colonel Klink at the time? So he got out of the Nuremberg trials.
That's right.
So maybe
he was visiting from South America.
Maybe he just did a little bit of time, and then it was like he went like, "Well, you know, I'm free. I've made some mistakes,
mm-hmm.
but I never really hurt anybody. So I'm going to move to America." Really? He's going to move to America. That's where he's going.
He wasn't alone.
Well, then was he dressed as a Nazi still?
You're taxing my memory.
I'm betting that he still had the outfit. That's weird on its own.
You know who you're asking this question to, right? Like
the guy who knows nothing.
That's right, yes. I have a porous memory. This is really strange. I don't remember things in that way.
Right.
Like I remember one time I was at my brother's first wedding. And my cousin was there.
I love that movie.
My brother's first wedding?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. My brother's first Greek wedding. And my cousin was there and another friend. And they were like, we were just talking. And
that lost so much money, that wedding.
We were reminiscing. And they were singing all these kind of old songs from our childhood. They knew every song, like every lyric of these theme songs from Saturday morning cartoons or whatever. I couldn't remember those things. I remember the show. I can remember the tune. But other than that,
like, I used to download I used to find CDs of old theme songs. So they're pretty good. I liked horns. So you get a lot of like nice 60s shows.
Oh, no, I enjoyed that horns. Too. There's that TV themes album that was a good album.
Some really good stuff. It's great.
Asked me to sing the songs from it. I couldn't. Maybe I could do the Brady Bunch.
Probably could.
I could do the Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island, but that's about it.
Okay.
Because those tell a story, and so all right, I can kind of remember that.
All right, I'm gonna let me just say this, and then I'll give you some time to think of the Gilligan's Island theme song. But let me just say
just
this.
Sit right
quick.
Back and hear a tale. Okay, a tale of faithful trip that started from this tropic shore aboard this tiny ship.
I was started on this tropic what?
Tropic shore. I don't know. I come on.
I'm gonna say port.
Port. Okay, that's probably true. Don't interrupt me.
Now all right, I've lost go ahead. This, sorry for correcting you. All right, on, aboard this tidy
the
ship.
The skipper was something. Now, see, I've lost my. I have to start again. Sorry. But anyway, I could do it. I'm not going to do it because it's boring.
Yeah.
You think it's boring?
No, I'm just going, yeah, of course you could do it.
You don't sure you don't could. Believe me?
Like
I can do it.
Like the kid who tells me he can lift 100 pounds over his head with one hand. I can. No, I'm sure you can do it when I'm not looking.
I could lift 100 pounds over my head.
Uh-huh. No, I'm sure you could, but you're not a child.
No.
All right, but here's my problem with Batman.
I could do it childlessly.
Here's my problem with Batman. So you got your knockout gas.
Okay. How's this related to Bruce Lee?
Because we
have really gone off the Bruce Lee thing.
Because okay. Oh, who started that? Because they were both made by the same
skipper.
Same. Okay. Are you want to keep going?
Go ahead.
All right. So, okay. I want to do a Gilligan's Island thing now, but hey, all right. So you run into the Joker, the murdering Joker, the crazy Joker. And what do you do?
And he wears weight on his mustache.
Right. And he's got his goons mm-hmm. next to him. Yeah. Okay. So you're Batman and you start having a conversation with the jerk.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, he's going to start fighting with you in a second.
Yeah.
And then he's going to get away. You've got knockout gas.
Okay.
Toss the fucking knockout gas. The first time you see him, knockout gas in the face. Done. Joker's asleep. You handcuff him. He's done.
Yeah.
You know, if you can still maybe fight the goons, but you're going to fight the goons anyway. But like, hey, guess what? You're not being thrown into the gumball machine of death this week because you smartened up and threw some knockout gas at the guy.
Well, what that
like,
tells
just fill the damn room with knockout gas. Like, stand outside the window and huck it in. The end. End of problem, Batman.
What your reaction to that tells me is that the age of the sporting chance is dead.
Why do sporting chance? You don't with the spree killer.
Is he a spree killer? In the Batman TV show, is he a murderer?
Well, he is.
Isn't he more of an eccentric thief?
Well, here's
or troublemaker than murderer.
You would normally think so, except here's the thing: this is a guy who builds death traps. Okay, there's always
for whom though.
Well, here's the thing: Batman happens to show up.
Yeah.
Now, do you think, like, when he builds the giant card shuffling machine that will shuffle Batman and cut him to ribbons?
Yeah.
Do you think he never used that on anyone else before? Do you think this is his first time?
Yeah, I do.
He's only doing this with Batman?
Yeah, I do.
Disagree. I do.
Really?
Why are they scared of him then? Why is the cops scared of the Joker? Because the cops are many cops, and the goons never have guns, and the Joker doesn't have guns.
Yeah.
So he must be doing something like crazy, dangerous, evil. Why are they mad? Rush him. He's a clown. Get him.
How about
50 of you get him now? Go get him.
Because it's that weird thing about superheroes, which is that the supervillains and superheroes are only dangerous to each other. In the classic sense of superheroes, supervillains. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know now it's different. Like, now the villains kill everyone. They rape whatever's standing around, fire hydrants, cars, whatever. Okay. It's nothing
even in the oldie days. Okay, like your oldie comic-y days. Like, okay, so the Penguin is robbing a bank.
Okay.
Okay. Now, he's got his goons
with his army of penguins.
Right, army of penguins, and they all have tiny umbrellas.
They're all driving little cars.
They've never used them.
With funny horns.
They've never used them.
Okay.
Is that what you're thinking? Never used them.
Are they deadly gas?
Yes, of course they are.
How do you know?
Because otherwise...
Like, in the past, they were deadly gas, or are they...
For some reason, people are terrified when the Penguin shows up.
He's going to put them to sleep.
Why are they scared of that?
It's uncomfortable.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't like going to sleep. I hate going to sleep. I do.
All right.
I put off going to sleep as long as I can. I hate it.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, once you're asleep and you've woken up a little bit, do you like still sleeping?
Yeah, well, then I'm fine with it.
You don't just wake up and go, fuck this, I'm up.
That's right. What the hell was I doing? Sleeping.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I've just slept for an hour.
No, I'm fine then.
That's how they get you.
But going to bed, that's how they get me. They're like, you know, they lure me to bed by making me really
tired. Something that we haven't mentioned in previous shows is that your daughter is Wednesday Addams. And when you go to sleep, she tries to murder you.
That's a problem.
Much like the Penguin or the Joker would do.
Mm-hmm. If I was Batman. Mm-hmm. But no one else.
All right. We got it's interesting. In a future show, we've got a guest who was on the new Addams Family.
Yeah.
And I was thinking something about the Addams Family actually today, which was I was looking online and they had looking for Addams Family type things.
Okay.
And they had the Addams Family on Scooby-Doo Mysteries.
Really?
Yeah, and it was back when Scooby-Doo would team up with Batman. Speaking of Batman, He would never team up with Bruce Lee, but I'm going to bring up Bruce Lee. But he'd team up with Don Knotts or Tim Conway or like some opera singer like Beverly Sills or something. That was a weird one. I was like, what the?
Beverly Sills? Beverly Sills? Really? I was thinking it would be
Carol Channing. He would team up with Carol Channing.
Hello, every... Yeah, that weird voice.
Yeah, that or Carol Channing, sure.
Diamonds are...
Are you trying to do Carol Channing?
Yeah, I can really do
it. You're doing it better than I am. David, doing Carol Channing.
It's been a while.
It's been a while for me, too, and it'll be a longer while till I do it again. But here's the thing.
Are you saying I will do it before you do?
Yes.
I don't think so.
I predict.
I think you're wrong.
Oh, there we go. So I'm watching this, and it's Scooby-Doo teaming up with the Addams Family, and they're solving a mystery.
That was kind of the shark jumping part of the Scooby-Doo thing. Pretty much, wasn't Scrappy-Doo?
There was infinite sharks. Scooby-Dum? There was infinite. This was pre-Scrappy.
Okay, so Scooby-Dum, that was to me was like, what? Well, what's going on?
Scooby-Dum, to be fair, I think there might have been like two team-ups with Scooby-Dum.
But what was the point of it?
How about Dino-Mutt? Was that jumping the shark?
Is there nothing worse than having two, like a show deciding they need to have two comedy reliefs?
And it wasn't really like Scooby-Doo was the smart guy on the team anyway.
No.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, he was already the dumb guy. Now you got his really tragically dumber self. Yeah, that is true. But that's kind of like what they did on Mary Tyler Moore, where you had Ted Baxter dumb, and then he married someone dumber. Well, that was also like, there's a couple of shows that...
Georgette.
Georgette. That's a couple of shows where they've had, like, there was that show Coach. And they had two dumb guys. They had a dumb, muscly guy, and then you had dumb old, Van Dyke, Jerry Van Dyke.
The coach. No, he wasn't the coach. It was that other actor who was in Poltergeist was the coach.
That's right. Yeah, Craig T. Nelson who was also in The Incredibles,
and apparently was on did the MST3K.
Did he?
Oh no, it was Mike Nelson.
Sorry. Holy shit, that was a lot of tangents in 2 minutes.
We're gonna fail.
David Dedrick.
We're going to fail.
Talking about Bruce Lee, take five. What have you got to say about Bruce Lee?
Okay, well, let me just say one more thing about... No, this is about Bruce Lee. What I was thinking is that almost all our cliches of kung fu movies come from the two Bruce Lee movies, which Fist of Fury and the other one.
Right. There was
Chinese Connection, I think it's called.
There was My Connection. Fist Enters You. I remember there was that one.
And the other thing, like, so all that kind of like... Someone slapping a couch with their, you know, make a sound of someone being hit.
Right.
You know, they would just like slap something, you know, just to make that kind of sound, you know, that's so unconvincing in martial arts movies. And then the other interesting thing about those films is the completely racist Japanese characters who all speak in these weird high-pitched voices. They're the villains, always.
Right.
There's a, you know, after that whole Manchuria thing that the Chinese still aren't over it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then... And the other thing is that when you watch the fighting in those movies, it's not great. It's not great.
Does it have to be great?
Well, when you think of Bruce Lee, you think of great martial arts and a really good martial artist. But a lot of his technique was more of a punching, kicking. And there's not that kind of – like the later developments, like a Jet Li or a Jackie Chan, who came out of the
– Yeah, very different
The ballet.
Yeah.
You know, they trained as sort of as gymnasts. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole different style. It's way more balletic. It's way more – you know, dynamic.
And in the opera. Jackie Chan.
They call it the opera, but it's basically like, it's like singing. Acrobatics and stuff like that. It's not just singing. Yeah.
Okay.
Cause there's a whole, the opera thing is like our view of what opera is and their idea of opera is totally different.
Okay.
Idea and training. So I don't think they really learned to sing so much.
What's that movie that's came out after Shaolin Soccer? It was the other one, Kung Fu Hustle.
Kung Fu Hustle,
because you had like something like Kung Fu Hustle. I was just thinking like if it's like opera, but like it's not over till the fat lady sings. In that one, there's a fat lady that sings.
Maybe
that is the equivalent of how their opera goes. Now, Dave, what this makes me want to see is some Japanese opera.
Japanese opera?
Yeah.
Or Chinese opera?
Oh, Chinese opera. Well, I've been to a Chinese opera, and let me just say, Dave.
Yeah.
Bit of a gong show.
Thanks. I'm supposed to laugh less? So less jokes for me would be helpful.
All right.
Go on.
No. I want to see a Chinese opera. If there's a bunch of martial arts, and it's like
that'd be awesome.
And Drunken Master 2. I'm all for it.
You're all for it.
Okay, back on topic. David Dedrick, Bruce Lee, take six.
I'm out of it.
Oh,
I'm done.
Come on.
But the last thing would be that I was looking at pictures of him in Games of Death because I'm doing this Sneaky Dragon Bruce Lee kind of tribute cover. idea. And when I was looking at it, I thought, oh, okay. Yes, that's where Uma Thurman got her outfit from for Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Came out of that.
For sure.
Which I'd forgotten about until I was looking at the images again. You know, it's typical with me. Yeah, it's been a while since I saw that movie.
Here's a question I got for you. You saw Kill Bill once, right?
Kill Bill once?
Because you usually see movies once.
No, I think I saw that one twice.
Okay. You know when she's about, when she sees something and it goes, wee-doo, wee-doo.
From Canon?
Is it from Ironside.
Ironside.
Is it from Ironside? Or is that from something else completely and Ironside used it as well?
No, I think it's just from that show.
Really? So they just lifted from Raymond Burr's Ironside.
Yeah.
They just lifted that. And that's what we're talking about is like in the opening of Ironside, Ironside is shot in the opening credits mm-hmm. and he ends up in a wheelchair and he solves mysteries in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And then that's basically what he does. And then one day he gets better and becomes Perry Mason again. For a brief period of time, he was Perry Mason. Then he stood up. Then he walked outside and was Ironside for a while. And then I can walk again. And became Perry Mason for a couple of movies. And then he adopted William Catt as his son.
Is that right?
William Catt, I think, was in some Perry Masons as his son, if I'm not getting that wrong. I might be getting that wrong, but I think William Catt was. Greatest American Hero.
I just think it's surprising. Oh, that's right. He was also in Carrie.
He was also one of the runner-ups for being Luke Skywalker.
Was he?
Yes, he was. There's some audition
footage.
Well,
I can see that because De Palma and Lucas and all those guys were friends, so he was in Carrie, so he would have been part of that. That group of people that, you know, sort of all knew each other.
I heard that they auditioned. I heard this recently. I think it was like on Talkin' Tunes, which is another podcast that's pretty good. That they auditioned. They came down to like the final auditions and they auditioned in groups of three. So Lucas was going to cast a group of three and it was going to be those three people. He wasn't going to pick and choose. And there was three groups of three and it turned out to be the Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, and Mark Hamill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it came, there was two other groups that were like right up to the edge.
Amy Irving and someone else and then...
And Raymond Burr.
Raymond Burr.
Raymond Burr is Han Solo.
He was
in a wheelchair.
Wow.
You know why?
Because really
at that point
there.
He got lazy and he just went, I'll just do it in a wheelchair.
When you watch those, if you watch those, and I highly recommend that you do watch those Red Letter Media super long reviews of the prequels.
Yeah.
If anyone possibly out there in our audience, but the kind of people who would listen to are a bunch of nonsense, I think are the sort of people that would have watched those. But if you haven't seen them, they're really good. Red Letter Media. Reviews of the prequels. They're each like 90 minutes.
Yeah, they're very worthwhile to see.
They're super worthwhile to
see.
What
the heck? We'll put a link up on the site.
What the heck? They need our traffic.
You know, we were just talking about Ironside. That just made me think of laziness, which made me think of this. There's been like, I don't know how many X-Men movies, but there's been three with Professor X in it. Okay?
There's been 16 in total.
16 in total.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing like, okay, so you got your Professor X,
mm-hmm.
and then you got your Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Hugh Jackman as Wolverine has to go work out for a million years. He's got to not eat nothing.
Yeah.
He's got to pump the iron. He's got to learn this.
He's got to not age.
He's got to not age. He's got to do all the thing, do all the action, do all the business.
Yeah.
Then you got fucking Professor Xavier just sits on his ass the whole movie and just like, And you know what? I bet at least for the first one, he got paid more. I bet that's the case.
Who played him in the first movie?
Patrick Stewart.
Who played him in the second movie?
Patrick Stewart.
Who played him in the third movie?
That would be Patrick Stewart. And a creepy Patrick Stewart in some makeup, which made him look young but didn't.
Okay.
And then it was similar CGI weird makeup in the Wolverine prequel. And then they had another actor who's a good young actor whose name I can't remember.
James McAvoy.
Let's go with that for X-Men First Class, who did quite a nice job, actually.
Yeah.
But he worked.
He worked it.
He had to walk around.
Yeah. He did have to work it. And also, you know, and he was acting against January Jones.
Oof.
And when you have that kind of talent up against each other, the sparks are going to fly. The sparks are going to fly.
You know what? If you're that bad an actress, how bad an actress is February Jones?
Her sister?
Yeah. Just terrible.
Her parents had no imagination.
You know who January Jones would make a good...
Her sister's actually... Her real name is Jingle Bell Jones. B-E-L-L-E.
Okay.
Yeah. Jingle Bell Jones.
All right.
Just so you know.
No, I do know.
Okay.
But what I'm thinking is like it's too bad that she played... Well, a couple of reasons that she played Emma Frost. But you know who she would be good at in a superhero... If I was casting a superhero movie, if you were doing...
Can I guess?
Yes, please.
Little Lulu.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
She's as wild as any Zulu, just as hard to tame.
Okay. See, that's totally her. It's totally January Jones.
It's weird when they do the remake now and they have to replace those lyrics. She's a little Lulu. She did it. Forget that.
Do you remember that animated show they did?
She's as cheap as a Jew, but she's nice as a. It's a different time.
They changed it.
How dare you judge
it? Goes, she's as cheap as a Scotchman, and because that's okay to say.
That is okay.
Yeah, you can say that.
But if they were doing a 1960s style Fantastic Four movie, she would make a good Sue Storm.
She would.
Because Sue Storm back then was very wooden as well. She was very, I don't want to fight. What's this guy?
I can't decide. Monkeys. Namor Reed.
Yeah, I don't know. This guy's nice. Like, no, he just flooded New York.
He had outlandish eyebrows. What did she see in that guy?
Namor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was shirtless. He was wearing just like a
pair of,
she was in love with an old guy in a suit. And like I smoked a pipe, and he was real skinny and geeky looking. And then all of a sudden, Lord of the Sea comes up in like his little in the 60s, wearing a tight pair of trunks, and just going, "Hey, look at me riding my beluga." And she started to have feelings. It's like maybe I could be an undersea queen. And then she became liberated later, and it woke
something inside her.
Yeah, when she becomes liberated and everything, it doesn't make any sense that she'd like that guy.
Yeah,
because he's a big jerk ass. But when she's just when
she's repressed Sue Storm.
Yeah, if you look at Mad Men season one
or Sue Richards, right?
Sue Richards. Yeah, she was when she was the Invisible Girl, not the Invisible Woman.
Okay.
Later, she became the Invisible Woman, but back when she was clearly the Invisible Girl.
Yeah,
and clearly dating her professor. Like, it's weird. You read the original one, it's like, she's dating a professor. That's
oh, daddy.
Yeah, it's like so daddy issues. Mm-hmm. And Ben Grimm doesn't want to go into space. She calls him a coward. Like, she's just being a jerk.
She's supporting Reed.
Here's a problem I got with Fantastic Four.
Okay.
Okay. Every time I say here's a problem I have, take a drink. Now, have you read like the original Fantastic Four comic books? Like, are you familiar with the general origin?
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, it's the Reed builds a rocket.
He did?
Yes, he does. Reed builds a rocket, and they're about to send the rocket into space.
Yep.
Okay. And then I guess there's a delay or something in the end.
There's some trouble.
Right. And it's like, we got to
It's typical. Am I right, people?
And they
NASA.
They got to beat the commies into space.
Oh, yeah.
That's the whole thing.
What?
We got to beat the commies to the moon.
Oh, yeah.
Is their thing.
Well, they did.
Well,
America did.
Specifically, they did not. And Ben's like, you ain't got enough shielding. And it's like, oh, you're a coward, says Sue. Oh, I'll do it then, because I'm easily kowtowed. So they get in the rocket. They fly up. Guess what? Not enough shielding. Ben's right. He becomes a monster for life.
Yes.
You know, and then they go, Ben, you're so grouchy. Why are you so grouchy? Yes. I don't know, because this son of a bitch, you know, could have put some more shielding on the damn thing.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to warn you all, and never once does Sue go, yes, sorry about that coward thing and how that ended up with you deformed for life. I'm really sorry about that, because I know I'm still pretty and you're not as sorry. So anyway, okay. So these.
Well, I don't think that's an essential part of the story.
What?
Like, I think there's a lot of stuff that happens off panel.
Do you think there's an apology off panel?
I think there's an apology off panel. Okay. I think that they got, you know, she baked him some cookies.
Yeah.
She brought him over
right.
in a little tin.
He went, I'm made of rocks. I can no longer taste food.
She said, that's okay.
I cannot defecate.
She said, that's okay. They're rock cookies.
I literally shit bricks. So I pee molten lava. I shit bricks.
Wow.
You did this to me.
What toilet can
January
contain
Jones.
Him? What toilet can contain
so
him?
So they go up into space.
Yep.
And next thing you see, they're living in, in the Fantastic
Four. In the space?
Well, they're generally living like in some building, and they're like, we should dedicate ourselves.
The Baxter building.
To fight. Well, that came a little later.
Oh.
But we're going to fight crime. Okay, you're going to fight crime. That's swell. Does anyone mind you stole a rocket? All four of you stole a goddamned rocket.
Did they steal a rocket?
Yes! They stole a rocket.
I missed that
went
part
into space. One, that's a... How's the government feel about that? Not shooting you down with a missile, you know? And, like, you crash it. You wreck it. Like, Reed was the builder. Like, he designed it.
Yeah.
But he didn't pay for
it. He didn't pay for it. Okay.
So what happens? You got to build us another rocket? You jerk. You know, what are you doing? And all of a sudden you're crime fighters. How about you go to jail for life? You just crashed a rocket into the middle of like a field. What's the, you idiots? You know, on your best day, that's like 10 years. Best day. You're crime fighters now? What up? Well, also, what about those?
Maybe it's community service. Once again, that off-panel.
All right, sure.
The whole trial thing and everything
else.
And
what about the astronauts who were supposed to fly the damn thing? How do they feel? Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for stealing
the thunder. Well, that's not in it as well, but actually I got ran over in a mysterious tractor accident. That all happened off-panel.
And I believe shortly after that, another, like when you're saying, we got to build beat the commies into space.
Yeah.
Well, the commies went into space. And they flew up into space.
Yep.
Not enough shielding.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But only what happened to them?
Well, I'll tell you what happened to them. It was an old man.
Yeah.
And he went up with four apes.
Okay.
And he became the Red Ghost and his super apes.
And they became the monkeys.
That's right.
Okay.
And here they come down the street.
Get the funniest looks from everyone they meet.
We're supervillain monkeys.
Hey, we're the supervillain monkeys.
Right. He got the power to, like, turn intangible. I believe one of the monkeys became magnetic. He was a magnetic monkey.
He's a magnetic monkey. Okay.
Yeah.
Were all their powers M's?
No, though that would have made sense.
One became munificent. He gave away things.
That's right.
Okay.
One became a multitasker.
A multitasker. You do many things at once. And one just became magnificent.
Yeah, and one just mumbled all the time.
Or maleficent.
But he was
very evil.
Ooh. I think Disney owned that name, so you could
do they?
That. Yeah, I think that's true.
How could they own a word? So they own Happy? It was the name of a dwarf, you know.
Well, happiest place on earth. I own that.
That's a phrase, not just a word.
But isn't okay? They own the happiest place on earth. So if you say no other place now on earth,
yeah,
can be the happiest place on earth.
Mm-hmm.
You could, like, your beautiful baby daughter has been born.
Yeah,
you're looking at her and just going, oh my gosh, this is the happiest place on earth right now. And a mouse kicks in your door and goes, shut the fuck up! Shut the fuck up! We're suing you! We're suing you!
But wait a second. You're in a hospital.
Yeah.
Where your daughter's born.
Disney Hospital.
Meanwhile, all around you, people
Goofy is an intern.
People have been in car accidents.
Dropping shit everywhere.
People have been in car accidents.
Yes.
People have broken their arms and legs and
yes,
heads and every other part of their body.
Right.
People are dying of cancer. People are just dying.
Exploding.
I know things are being born. You know, life is going on in there.
Men are turning into rocks. They're peeing molten lava.
I think it's more likely
they're
shitting
bricks.
I think it's more likely you're going to say, this is the happiest moment of my life, and not, this is the happiest place on earth.
Okay, how about you're in your new home?
Okay.
With your family.
Okay.
It's Christmas morning. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You're opening those perfect presents.
Okay.
And little Susie gets the cure for the disease that she's has, and you've been keeping it all year long to make it special. And she goes, "Why didn't you give this to me earlier? While I still had all my toes."
Yeah.
But she's still the
so she had,
smile
she had
is
leprosy.
On her face. She's still got the smile on her face.
Okay.
Half a smile.
Half
One
a
of
smile.
Her lips fell off. But she gets that medicine.
Terrible, this leprosy.
And you look over and you look at each other and go, like, this is clearly the happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
And then Gorsh comes down the chimney and starts, like, busting stuff up.
He comes down the chimney and then has to go, woo-hoo-hoo.
That's right. He does. He does have to do that. No, I think that's terrible that Disney has copyrighted the happiest place on earth. And now no other place on earth can be the happiest place on earth. Here's my problem with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is the where is the happiest place on earth? Is it Disneyland or Disney World?
Epcot Center in Japan.
Is it?
Yeah.
Liar.
No, it is.
Liar. Listen, I've watched a lot of Bruce Lee movies, and what I've learned about Japan
is
no one is happy.
No
they
one's happy.
They always look
day.
Constipated.
They
were always
little,
yelling.
They wear little round glasses.
Yeah. They. I think they're all played by Mickey Rooney, and they commit seppuku if anything goes wrong.
Anything at all.
Especially if they screw up their seppuku.
I missed a
then
train.
Then they really have to commit super seppuku.
Super seppuku?
Then they have to bring out a giant spoon.
And while they do
and
it?
Use a, and impale themselves with a spoon and just scoop their insides out.
And while doing seppuku, they have to also do the sodoku.
That's right.
And they're like, I can't figure this math question and nerd so much.
Okay. I've never done Sudoku.
No, it's not my thing. I'm not a math person.
It's not math.
It's math.
No, it's not.
You have to add up things to make.
No,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
No. I believe the situation with Sudoku is that you just can't put the same number in the same square in any of those.
But they have to add up to certain amounts.
No, I don't think they do.
Yes,
I don't
they
think
do.
They
yeah,
do.
Do.
I don't
yeah,
think
yeah,
they
yeah.
do.
I've done
I
it.
I don't think they do.
I've done
I
it.
Don't do they?
I've done it.
They have to add up.
Yeah.
They have to add up Sudoku.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boy, I don't think that's right.
No, that's true.
All right. A gentleman's wager, sir.
A gentleman's wager.
A gentleman's wager,
okay.
sir.
My house against...
against this envelope. David, I will bet you a pen.
Okay.
A Bic pen.
All right. I don't have a Bic pen, but...
No, no. Neither of us do.
Okay.
But whoever... We will look this up.
Okay.
And then on one of our future shows...
I'll have to steal a pen from work and bring it here?
Sure. That'll do.
Okay.
I will bet you one pen.
Is it a Paper Mate one, okay?
Yeah. Paper Mate is fantastic.
Okay. What about Pilot?
No, of course not.
Really?
After what they did during the war?
Pilot make the best pens. Not the kamikaze Pilot pens.
Oh, okay.
Those are different ones.
Those just explode in my hand.
Yeah, those are just ridiculous. They don't work at all.
Okay. I bet you a pen.
They're always falling on the floor.
Sudoku, you do not have to add anything up in Sudoku.
Yeah, you do.
I understand that that's what you think. That is why we're having a bet. Maybe that's why I had trouble doing it. Maybe you don't have to re-argue the point. Well, the point of a bet is we'll find out. And then we will.
So you're saying I'm confusing it with another number game that I played at some other time?
Yes, you are completely.
It's possible. I'm not saying I don't get confused.
No, be an arrogant prick. This is wait a second. You're makes being, the bet better.
Wait a second. How come I'm the arrogant prick and you are not?
No, we're both playing arrogant pricks here.
Oh, we are? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So you're con and I'm anti.
Sure.
Okay.
All right, David. Sudoku. You don't have to add anything up. You fool. Now arrogant me back.
Morton? I'll do John McLaughlin from the McLaughlin Group.
Sure, why not?
Mortensen? I'm pretty certain that the idea of the thingy is that you get the certain amount of numbers and they have to fit in particular places and they have to add up to... You have like a couple of numbers in the... I don't know.
David Dedrick, Bruce Lee, take eight. Bruce Lee.
What about him?
How about his son? Did you like The Crow? Did you like the movie The Crow?
Not that much.
I didn't really either like
it. I mean,
that
what
much.
A waste of he a
did,
person's
he
life.
He did one movie before where he was like doing this interesting martial arts on a chain link fence that was pretty good. And he was just like just skittering up a chain link fence. And I went, that guy'd be a good Spider-Man. That was before Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
He probably
would have been a really good Spider-Man, actually.
I think we can agree, no more Crow movies.
I think, didn't they stop at one?
No, sir. They did not. Okay, look outside.
Because the actor died.
Do you see? Okay. We have a thing in Vancouver called Crow O'Clock. Mm-hmm. And what happens is you look up in the sky and an infinite amount of crows
it's wonderful.
Fly across the sky.
Yeah,
if you go a couple blocks over, you can see Bat O'Clock, which also occurs. But Crow O'Clock, lots of crows.
That's where the baseball game is.
There is, when you look at Crow O'Clock, there are two less crows in Crow O'Clock than there are crow films.
Is that right?
Yeah. There's sequels, and then there's TV series, and then there's other TV series.
There was a TV series of The
Crow?
There's
made-for-TV movies. There's,
really?
There's direct-to-video discs. I don't know if there's any video games. Again, it's all based on a comic book.
And all through these, the actor gets more and more moldered. He's sort of falling apart.
No, sir. No, sir. They do different people.
There's a guy behind him moving his arms.
Extremely bad taste, David. Extremely bad taste. Extremely bad taste.
Okay.
David, think of Bruce Lee.
Think of Bruce Lee. He's also dead.
David.
Because of a dragon.
Is he really?
I saw the Bruce Lee movie, Dragon.
I did too. I actually kind of liked it.
Yeah, I did too.
I turned to my friend Roman. I was watching it with him and it made him laugh. I said to him, oh, this is what all the actors from MASH have been doing.
Were there a lot of them in that movie?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like all the extras from MASH, like everyone you'd see, like, you know, anyone who...
David Ogden Steers?
No. I just mean anyone Asian in LA.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it was
yeah.
This is the first job they've had since that went off the air.
Yeah, okay.
That was a glorious time.
Since Big Trouble in Little China. They're like, yeah, another movie.
Yeah, a lot of people from Big Trouble in Little China as well. Yeah, there's a lot of crossover.
For
which
sure.
I saw that for the very first time, like, about a year ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That took you a while.
Yeah, that was fine.
So you're part of the crowd that did not support that film and caused it to tank at the box office.
Did it?
You wrecked John Thingy's
Carter.
Career. John
of
Carpenter.
Mars.
John Carpenter.
John Carter of Mars.
John Carter. John Carpenter's Ghost of Mars.
Oh, that's terrible, though.
It could have been so good.
Except
that it's bad.
Except I don't think he read the script.
Well, he wrote it.
That doesn't mean he read it. Because Ghosts of Mars ends with it's one of the worst endings for a movie ever.
How does it end?
And I can't spoil it because it's
pre-spoiled.
No, spoil it. No, I'm saying because it's already spoiled.
Oh, okay.
Because of what it is.
Okay.
So the idea is if it's basically like these things possess you and you become possessed, I believe.
But you become like a savage.
Right. Now, if say you were attacking me and you're a savage, the way I have to defeat you without killing you, because if I kill you, the things come out of you and then possess other people.
Yeah.
Okay. So by killing you, I'm killing someone else because that person now gets possessed by a savage.
Yeah.
By having it still in you, if I can contain you, then at least it's not spreading.
Yeah.
They just shoot everybody, which means it goes to more people. Yeah. And then it's like, ugh. And then the movie ends with I think it's Ice Cube busting, you know, the lead out of prison and just going, well, let's go kick some ass because, you know, it's what we do best. And yeah. It's like, you don't do it best. None of you understand how this works. We've established this is the worst thing you can do. You don't shoot the damn person. You're just killing more people. You're making the zombie apocalypse just crazy more bad.
Yeah.
Crazy more bad.
Crazy more bad.
Should have been the name of the movie.
That's crazy more bad. That would have been a good name for that movie.
Here's problem number two with the movie. Oh, look, there's Pam Grier. She's in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's nice to see her. She's off the yeah. Oh, my God, Pam Grier, this is going to be great. Ah, she's dead.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to kill her in 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
And it's not like you couldn't afford Pam Grier.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Pam Grier had other shit to do.
Yeah.
Fucking just bring Pam Grier along.
Yeah.
She's good. She'll kick some ass. She'll be sassy. She'll just really good one-liners. Just God damn it. What do you mean you're killing Pam Grier off the top?
Yeah.
You idiots. And if you want to just like kill a celebrity off the top, spend a little money and kill a celebrity off the top. Kill Bruce Willis. Kill yeah. someone, you know, Van Damme. Kill someone that we don't expect.
Yeah.
But don't kill Pam Grier, you dumb fuck.
Well, that's...
Sorry for swearing, folks.
Yeah, come on, Ian.
But we have to, otherwise we do. Lose our explicit.
We do. We'll lose our explicit. Rating. Yeah, that's the great moment in, and I'm just going to spoil it for everyone, in the great moment in that Kurt Russell film, Executive Decision, where Steven Seagal's character, you're like, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. Buddy movie, Steven Seagal is going to, you know the movie, Executive Decision, where Kurt Russell's just like a, he's a, whatever the word would be, an advisor.
Right.
He knows a lot about something, and so he's being taken onto this plane that's been taken over by terrorists, and they're going to sneak onto the plane.
Okay, all right.
Do you remember that movie?
Yep.
And Steven Seagal... You know, they go up ahead and Steven Seagal is going up and suddenly something happens. The chute they're using to connect the two planes comes apart and Steven Seagal is gone.
Yeah.
And that's in his character. And you're just like, whoa, didn't expect that.
I do like that.
Yeah.
I'm all for that. Something I liked in a movie that was bad was Doom. I'm going to spoil Doom now.
Okay.
Again, unspoilable. What the hell?
It's 12 years old.
So the nice thing they did in Doom, aside from having it one sequence, which was the best sequence in the damn movie, where they actually did it from that first-person point of view, like okay. in the video game.
Yeah, yeah.
It actually looked like the video game, and everyone in the... And then by that point, the audience is bored to tears.
Yeah.
Like, they are just, like, fading out, and that comes on like, whoo-hoo-hoo! Like, everyone just perks up.
Yeah.
And then it goes where right it goes. But the nice thing that they did was they had The Rock as the
I was going to ask if he was in that movie.
Yeah, he was the lead. And so you have The Rock. And then
typical of his movies, you could smell what The Rock was cooking.
Well, they actually did a nice thing in this movie, okay. which was, so you have The Rock, and he's killing, you know, the bad guys. He's killing whatever the demons on Mars or whatever it is. Back to Mars with demons.
He's killing banjos.
Whatever he is. And he's got, like, his sidekick there, and I forget who his sidekick is, but they're kind of, like, arguing a bit. And he's wisecracking. So he'll kill somebody, and he'll do a wisecrack.
Oh, no.
And then it'll get, like, a little mean. Like, it was like, that's too mean a wisecrack.
Uh-huh.
Like, but you're thinking bad choice movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
thinking you can't talk about a minotaur like that.
Exactly.
What the hell, man? But minotaurs
then,
have feelings.
But then he starts like doing stuff with like his men. He's commanding his men, but like too harshly, but it's still on the line
okay.
where you're like,
yeah.
maybe. And then you go like, no, he's the bad guy. Like you realize that. And the sidekick is the good guy. And he's got to mutiny to defeat The Rock.
Okay.
And they don't play that up in the trailer, which is nice. And so it ends up with like The Rock being the one who, you know, it turns out to be the bad guy. And it's great because The Rock is so likable.
Yeah.
And The Rock is acting like The Rock. But it's like, what if Schwarzenegger in the old Commando movies really was like a sick son of a bitch? But it's really hard to tell
yeah.
when you're a wisecracking killer, you know, and then they just kind of flipped it. And I went, that part was good.
Hmm.
Like the twist was definitely good. And it's weird as an audience member where you go, oh no, that's not right. You can't do that to a person. Like you can do this, but you can't do that. And it's like, how far are you okay with your action hero going? Like, is it okay for him to burn a person? Nah, is it okay for him to do this? Is it okay for him to do that? How many people innocents can he kill to kill the bad guy? It was okay. And then it was a terrible movie all the way around. But good little plot. Whoever plotted that, good job.
Good job.
And whoever got The Rock for it, good twist on that.
Hmm. Well, he was still kind of up and coming then, so he probably. Mm-hmm. Was okay with playing.
When he was in a movie, he was kind of a likable guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess like in Scorpion King, he wasn't that likable. Like the original Scorpion King, where he just becomes a scorpion.
I watched a movie the other day with him in it called Be Cool, which is the sequel to Get Shorty.
Yes.
It was awful. Have you ever seen it? Be Cool?
Is it related to Be Kind Rewind?
Only in that it has B in the title.
Okay.
In that sense, it's also related to Let It Be.
And the B movie with Jerry Seinfeld.
That's right. And the movie.
I think I have seen both of those movies. Yeah.
And what did you think? Like, I just, like, the Rock is in it.
The first one was like, yeah, it's all right. And the second one, that's not needed.
Yeah.
It was kind of the analyze that of sequels.
Well, I kind of enjoyed Get Shorty. Like, I thought it was sort of a fun movie.
And Analyze This isn't that bad. It's but not Analyze terrible. That is shit.
I don't think I've seen that one.
And then so it's you're Analyze saying, Those. And how about some analysis of this?
They didn't do more. They only did two of the Analyze movies, right? They didn't need to go any. They didn't need to analyze any further.
Well, they didn't need to. We didn't need to meet any more Fockers either. But we have been.
yes, that's true. That's true. The unnecessary sequel. What is the most unnecessary?
See, the
sequel?
The joke is.
What's the most unnecessary
sounds
sequel?
Like Fockers.
I know. It's hilarious.
Oh, most unnecessary sequel?
Yeah.
Lawnmower Man 2.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because who cared about Lawnmower Man 1?
I guess the producers who made a little bit of money off the first one, they cared.
What's the worst sequel? Let's go with that.
Worst sequel. I'm tempted to say Godfather 3, just because that kind of sits, you know, stays in my mind as like a complete debacle.
Yeah, when we're getting into threes, let's go like, what's the worst number two? What's the worst?
The worst number two sequel. Okay, do you have one in mind?
I certainly
okay,
do.
Okay, well then you say it and I'll think about it.
Okay,
see
well mine is Highlander 2.
See, now that seems kind of obscure to me. Well, okay, why is it so terrible?
Well, because they do a couple of things in it. One, it's just really bad through the whole. Like it's like
they wear
just
kilts.
Like, woo! But okay, here's the thing.
Okay,
where do you think Highlanders come from, Dave?
Scotland.
Did you say space? Did you say Scottish space planet?
Oh, okay, Scottish space planet.
It was such a bad development in the movie. Oh, by the way, they bring characters back that are dead.
Okay.
Okay. Well, okay, here's the thing. Highlander 1 generally ends with, there can be only one. And it ends with, there's only one. And then the things that happen when you're only one, they happen. And like, he's only one. And then Highlander 2 goes, eh, that wasn't really what happened. Oh, and by the way, they're not Scottish. Eh, they're from space. Oh, by the way, a whole bunch of other shit.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we're basically shoehorning a completely different movie into this. It was such bad choices that the sequels to that movie just went, yeah, let's just not acknowledge any of that.
Yeah.
Basically, every Highlander movie just went, listen, we know that last movie was shit. Let's just forget about it.
Okay, I've got a couple I'm going to suggest then.
Okay.
First one that popped into my mind was the unnecessary Matrix 2, whatever it's called, Matrixes.
Okay.
I like
the car chase.
The car chase is really good.
Yeah.
But what else?
The fight with all the guys. I like that.
Too much computer stuff.
Not when you get the computer face and it's all rubber face, that does lose it. Yeah,
I don't like that.
But when you see it starting and it's like, ooh, all right, stuff's happening. Okay.
Another one that I think is unnecessary was French Connection 2. Like the first one is a really great compact, you know.
I didn't know there was a policier. French Connection 2. Okay.
French Connection 2. Yeah, it's they follow the heroine back to France, I believe, and there's more. There's a lot of stuff. There's a scene where Popeye Doyle is shot up with heroin, and there's a lot of kind of gritty, you know. But it's not directed by William Friedkin, I don't believe.
Okay.
I think it's just kind of an exploiting the name of the first film. And I have to say that it's not very good. So in terms of number twos, those are two that pop in my head as being
look who's
very
talking to. I will
look
give you that.
Look who's talking
we
to.
Didn't need to hear another baby talking.
No,
we certainly didn't need to hear the dog talking in number three.
No, that's. But that and the fact that one's called Look Who's Talking 3, that's the awfulest part of that. It makes no sense.
The most awfulest part. And, Revenge of the Nerds 2. I wasn't even a big fan of Revenge of the Nerds.
I never saw
Revenge
those
of the Nerds 2. Well, here's the thing. I saw that in Nelson, BC in a theater where it's like, what are you going to do? Not watch a movie? You got to.
Yeah.
And we went in, which is
and
like,
there's one theater, so this is a movie you've got to watch.
We just decided, fuck it.
Yeah.
Life doesn't go on forever. You don't get the time back. We'd rather do nothing than see this. We've paid for this movie.
Yeah.
It was quite comfortable to be sitting in there.
Sure.
It was air conditioned.
Yeah.
We'd rather go out and be hot and annoyed than to stay in here and watch this.
So you left the theater?
Yes, we did.
That's two or the first film?
That's number two.
Number two. You walked out of. I don't think I've ever walked out of a movie.
First movie I walked out of, I think, was Hollow Man.
That came before Revenge of the Nerds too?
That's good. Nope. Good point. Hollow Man came after that. You're right. Hollow Man, I walked out of with my wife because here's the thing about Hollow Man. Hollow Man is Kevin Bacon. Hollow Man gets the power to be invisible.
Yeah.
And he turns all murder rapey right away. Not creepy then to this to build, but just like rapey killy. And it was just like, well, this isn't getting any less rapey or killy. I don't want to see where this is going.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah. So even without seeing it, I'm going to say Hollow Man 2 was also not necessary.
Is there a Hollow Man 2?
Yes, there is.
Wow. Okay.
How about, and the Ten Commandments 2.
How about Hollow Back Girl 2?
Yes.
Was that necessary?
It was. Okay. It was not necessary. You should acknowledge my Ten Commandments, too.
Oh, sorry. I didn't miss that one because I was busy stomping all over what you said.
That was the
Ten Commandments, too. That was unnecessary.
With, in brackets, now some suggestions.
You know what that's called?
What's that?
Deuteronomy. Oh, God. Biblical scholars are laughing their heads off.
They sure are, Dave. Yes. And I think that's a good point to wrap things up.
The show?
Yeah. Okay. Things we got to remind you of. That Dave will owe me a pen when he learns what Sudoku is. If you want to enter our Sneaky Dragon contest, you know how much we tangented? If you don't like that, well, you can stop us from doing it for one damn episode.
Can I just say that we have some topics?
Mm-hmm.
Tea.
Yep.
Horses.
Yep.
Koala bears.
Yep.
Doctor Who. Great Danes. Those are some of the suggestions so far.
Right.
So if you do not want to hear an entire show about koala bears,
our audience are entirely British 4-year-old girls.
Apparently so. We apparently got a cross section of a particular demographic. That's right.
We fancy you. We enjoy your program. There's probably no slang British term for podcast. We enjoy your potty. We call it potty over in England.
Potty? It doesn't sound very good, does it?
Yeah, put on the potty, mother. Crank it up.
Yes, that's a popular British
Well, they have to take their podcast machine, let it warm up for a while.
Step it up, yo.
This is the British podcasting generator.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Please tell us what podcast you'd like. They're like, we'd like this potty. This podcast is being brought to you by the government.
Potty.
Yep. And that's why we're a couple of potty mouths.
Yes.
If you want to come and see a little bit of comedy in Vancouver, I do a show every week called Moose Boosh over at Slicky Jim's Chat and Chew.
Lots of fun.
If you want to listen to another podcast that has something that I wrote on it in the vein of sketch comedy, that's a good thing to do. Might be the Irrelevant Show on CBC Radio.
Yes.
Good fun. And anything that you want to mention coming up in the next little week?
No. I still haven't finished. Last week I talked about a... doing a process post. I'm still working away on that. It takes a long... I'm starting to really admire people. Either I get carried away with the amount of information I'm doling out, or maybe it's the most boring post in the world. I don't know. Or
you're what we call a perfectionist.
Am I? I think you're right. Well, that's for sure. That's true. Perfectionist. Yes.
Yeah. Wait, you said perfectionist wrong.
I did.
Oh, that's just going to... You're going to beat yourself up over that.
I'm thinking about it already. I'm just like, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to edit it. I'm going to put those together and make it into one word. So it'll be like perfectionist.
Good. All right. Yeah. If you could fix it all in editing, that'd be great.
I'll fix it in editing.
All right. So change my voice so that I don't sound so that I sound good like I always do.
Okay.
I really appreciate this. This real cool voice that you give me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
Because in real life, I sound like this. So I really appreciate that.
He sounds like a combination between Mickey Mouse and a British girl. You're the one who suggested horses and Great Danes and koala bears.
Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. We'll decide. Okay. We'll tell you next week.
All right.
So get off your treadmill. Have a cool down.
Yes.
Don't eat a Clif Bar. Those are empty calories.
A Clif Bar?
Yeah. Don't have a Clif Bar. Just drink some water and just walk it out.
Rehydrate.
Maybe eat a boiled egg.
Is that right?
Well,
that doesn't sound that pleasant.
Well, you need some protein, and you know, might as well get it from a natural source than an artificial source. Don't waste your money on your fancy bars. Don't go to your gym's smoothie hut.
I get what you're saying.
That's just empty calories. Just take a little walk, eat a boiled egg, maybe have a little water. If you need a mint afterwards, you know, have that. That's fine.
Okay. So speaking of natural sources, if you need a little salt in the egg, just rub it on your forehead.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's awkward. So let's end that there. David, it's your turn to end the episode. Please end it.
All right, everyone.
This is Dave Dedrick, ending the episode. Take one.
Bruce Lee, take nine. Oh, I'm supposed to end it now.
You are the worst perfectionist I've ever
thing. One more
time. How about you're one of those perfectionists that actually gets it right? Okay. How's that sound? Could you be that?
Yeah, that's the problem with my perfection, is it never quite gets it.
Oh, you're an imperfectionist.
I'm an imperfectionist.
That was my mistake.
I have trouble with it. I have issues with my imperfection. Are you going to bring me in? Like, take two now. Ready?
Okay. All right, David. This is David Dedrick wrapping up the show. Take two. And three, two, four, one.
Do I start?
Go!
Goodbye, everyone.